Good afternoon. It's 1:30. The commission is meeting today to have an informal hearing. We're in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room. The case number is PU06415, Montana Dakota Utilities Company, Division of MDU. Their fuel clause rate 58, a tariff. And I'm Commissioner Susan Wiefald, and I'll have my fellow commissioners introduce themselves.
Kevin Kramer.
Tony Clark.
And then if staff in the room will identify themselves.
Jerry Leon. Alana
Jeff Cook-Sackle.
And then we also have with us a representative of MDU, if you'll identify yourself.
My name is Rita Mulkern.
Thank you, Rita. And then is there anyone on the phone?
No, there's not from our side.
From your office. Is there anyone otherwise on the phone? Not that we're aware of. All right, joining us today. Okay, Rita, if you'll go through your proposal on this tariff with us, that would be very helpful.
I will, thank you. Montana Dakota submitted a proposed revision to the fuel cost adjustment rate 58 tariff and at the same time requested a waiver of North Dakota Rules Chapter 69090239-3. And what we are proposing to do is to implement an unrecovered fuel cost account with an annual surcharge to replace the current monthly true-up that we have in the fuel cost adjustment. Right now in our fuel cost adjustment, there are two components. The first one I'll call the current piece, and that is the four-month historical average of fuel costs. And there is a two-month lag so that, for example, our currently effective March fuel cost adjustment is based on the four-month average fuel cost for October through January. The other piece is the true-up portion, and that reflects the unrecovered portion from 2 months ago, so that in our March fuel cost adjustment, we have the under-recovered or over-recovered portion from January of 2007. And the method for both of these components is specified in the rules, which is why we requested a waiver of the rules. Under the proposed tariff, we are not proposing to change the four-month historical average portion of the fuel cost adjustment. We are proposing to change what we call the true-up piece. And what we want to go to is to do something very similar to what we have on the gas side with the purchase gas cost adjustment, where each month we would take the difference between what we recovered in the fuel cost adjustment, that four-month average, and actual cost for the month, and place that difference, take that difference per kilowatt hour times the billed volumes in North Dakota, and place that in this deferred account. And then once a year, we will take the balance in that deferred account and amortize it over the following 12 months based on projected sales volumes. And basically, as I said, this is the same as we have on the purchase gas cost adjustment side. The benefits of this proposal is that it does provide a better matching on a monthly basis. Using the over-under recovery from 2 months ago can cause distortions or even more fluctuations in the current month calculation. For example, in November of 2006, that month of November is when the contract with AVS had expired, so fuel costs were going up because of that. On top of that, we had some outages in our power plant, so we purchased more from the market than we had anticipated. So there was a large under-recovery. That was reflected in customers' bills in January. And I prepared a graph that shows how that true-up portion has fluctuated. The blue line on the graph shows for each month from January 2005 through the February 2007 fuel cost adjustment. It shows the component of the fuel cost adjustment that was the true-up account. And it does fluctuate considerably month to month. It can go from a negative to a positive and back down. You can see if you look at January 2007, a big spike because of the effects of November 2006. The red line on the graph, I went back and calculated as if in 2005 we'd had a tracking mechanism in place. And had we done that, we would have, for the whole year, under-recovered by $1.9 million, and that translates to roughly 0.0013 $0.13 or 0.13 cents per kilowatt hour as a true-up adjustment. And so I'm just trying to show a picture of what comparing the two procedures. And for 2006, we would have under-recovered by about $480,000, which was 0.0007. So you can see the fluctuations caused by the current method, and it would smooth out. It will not eliminate the volatility, because we do see volatility in the market, and that's one reason we use that four-month rolling or that four-month historical average for the current portion is to stabilize it so that month-to-month fluctuations are smoothed out somewhat. And this will additionally provide some stability to customers' rates.
Can you explain, can you take a question now, or would you rather wait until you're done with your whole presentation?
No, this is fine.
I need to have some help in understanding the chart. All right. Now, my understanding is that you explained that you had some things happen in fall last year, and you were referring to the January 07 spike on this chart.
Right.
And would you go over again what that reflects?
It's the two-month lag from November, is that right?
That's right. It reflects the under-recovery from November of 2006. And the reason there was such an under-recovery was because November 2006, the AAVS contract had expired, so we were purchasing the 66 megawatts we'd been using. We purchased from the market, and then on top of that, there are some power plant outages.
But my understanding is that each month you go out and you purchase power then.
That's right.
Right, and so what happened was you're telling us the fuel cost adjustment wasn't correct.
Well, no, the fuel cost adjustment was correct. It's based on a four-month historical average. So the fuel cost adjustment that was in effect in November was based on September through June average fuel costs.
Right, and then you're making up the difference now in the fuel costs that are being passed through to customers in these 3-4 months this spring, right? I mean, we've been watching that your fuel cost has gone up, and we understood that it's a result of those things.
Yes, we will catch up once we get to, and we should be, now the fuel cost we would have filed last week, the April fuel cost adjustment, would reflect 4 months without the AVS contract. So we have caught up to that increase in cost.
But
you still have
fluctuations. I mean, the fuel clause itself, the costs are still going to be based on that system. We're just talking about the true-up.
Yes. We're going to replace them.
That, which is a fairly small portion.
Rather than a continual month-to-month true-up, which goes up and goes down and goes up and down and way up and way down, we want to smooth that out and only change that once a year rather than have an under-recovery followed by an over-recovery by an under-recovery and over-recovery, basically add all that up and change this, have a surcharge adjustment once a year.
It's trued up once a year, but it's amortized over 12 months.
Over the 12 months.
But it's not the same. What we have right now is closer to the current customers, the actual customers paying for the true-up. Whenever you make a delay like this and you bill customers a year later, you're not assured that the same customers. I mean, I know you're not even assured now when you have it come up 4 months later, but you have at least a better chance of the correct customers paying for the energy costs than if you do it a year later.
You know, it's kind of six of one, half dozen of the other, I think, as far as that goes, because in this case you're sending, for example, if you have a large adjustment in under-recovery in November, you're applying against January volumes. Those volumes can be quite different also. Mm-hmm. And so even then, you're not necessarily getting the same customers because, on whole, you should. But it's really, this is going to actually be better at tracking fuel costs. It will be just like on the gas side. With this tracking mechanism, we'll ensure that we recover no more and no less than our actual fuel costs. Under this method, because the monthly true-up, we kind of true-up every month, but we never actually true up. It's always moving.
A moving target. Well, one thing concerns me is that when I read your description of this, of what you would insert, and then when I looked at what's in our description of this in our gas rules, it isn't as detailed. It doesn't talk about the amount of interest that would be charged, accumulated. It doesn't go into any of the details that our gas purchase adjustment does, fuel adjustment clause does.
Are you talking about proposed tariff or?
Your proposed tariff.
I believe we do talk about the interest.
Where is that then? I'm looking at fuel clause rate 58. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong sheet.
Are you looking on page?
Page 2 of 3. Item under C1, paragraph C again.
Okay.
Yes.
C1.
Carrying charges or credits at a rate equal to the 3-month Treasury rate as published monthly by the Federal Reserve Board.
All right, let me just hear. Okay, that's CC, basically, is that it?
Yeah.
C1C. Okay. All right, no, I hadn't spotted that, so thank you.
And you can see, if you look at the last sheets, we show what has changed, and that's sometimes easier to see what we're changing.
Yep, I have that.
Okay.
I have that now. My other question has to do with why, if this rule has been in place for years for all three utilities, and it's worked well, at least we haven't heard about any problems with it, and I'm a little concerned about making a rule change, in effect, without going through the rule process. I can see that this may be a good system, but I'm not sure if I feel comfortable without doing it through a rulemaking, so that everyone would have a chance to comment and to participate in it. You know, we've had some interest in fuel cost adjustments lately by the industrial customers, for example, of Otter Tail, et cetera. And I'd just be interested in knowing what, in general, people feel about making this change.
And this, we're not proposing to change the main part of the fuel cost adjustment is that current piece, is reflecting the change in current fuel costs using that 4-month average. And we're not proposing to change that. It's on the tracking portion or the true-up portion that we're changing. So in terms of what we're proposing to change from the rules, it's not the main focus or the main part of the fuel cost adjustment. It's just changing how we are doing the true-up, whereas we're proposing to look at it, track it, and change it annually rather than every month. So I see the primary purpose of the fuel cost adjustment being the current piece of the 4-month average, and that we don't believe, or we're not proposing to change right now.
But it does require, in your view, a suspension of the rule.
Yes, we did request a waiver of that portion of the rule.
Is there any way we could do a trial until the time of the rulemaking? Let's say.
Have to be about a 2-year trial.
Well, it doesn't have to take that long for a rule change. Is there any way we could do that?
Well, if you
can I ask? I mean, maybe as well, Jerry has an opportunity to think about that. As a percentage of the entire fuel clause adjustment, what are we talking about here?
It's not the majority. When I ran this scenario with the red line, the true-up, the first year would have been an annual total of $10. The second year would have been an annual total of $2.50.
Were they both under recoveries?
They were both under recoveries. So it's not a lot of dollars. It does... This, I think our proposal is cleaner because it does actually track the fuel costs. And we look at saying, well, this is what we actually recovered from customers. This is what we actually paid attributable to North Dakota customers. Let's take the difference and put them in a deferred account and apply interest to it. And it's cleaner. It's easier to keep track of. It the way it is now, and if you look at these spikes can kind of exacerbate changes or mitigate them. If you have, for example, in January we had a big spike in that. Well, if January was a low-cost month and we over-recovered because we recovered the November piece in January, then that can cause 2 months later something going the other way. So you have it causing effects. It causes effects by itself. It causes effects and causes the fluctuations.
But why? That's hard for me to understand. Why, when you have the past record and you're billing it, you're catching up based on your proposed how much you're going to sell the next month, why that would fluctuate any more than when you're making a projection for the whole next year? Your calculation for how much you're going to sell for the month of February when you have weather forecasts and everything, you should be able to tell pretty well how much you're going to sell for February and make your it should actually be more precise than trying to do it for a whole year, guessing how much volume you're going to have through the whole year.
You're not guessing when guessing under the currents, the way it goes now, you're not guessing what you're going to sell in February. You're basing it on your 4 months previous sales. So if your 4 month previous sales were shoulder months, and you're coming into summer peak, there's an error that's going to occur there a little bit.
I can see there'd be a disconnect between the volume used and the price that you're going by, or the cost you're going by, especially in shoulders, like you're explaining.
Yeah, your volumes are always in the same 4 months that your costs were summed over, and then you just divide those 4 months of volumes into those costs. And
maybe I need to see the example again. I just am not apparently catching this correctly. I thought that when you have the under-recovery from that previous 4 months, that then you're calculating the amount for the sixth month. Is that what you told us in your memo? Skip five for some reason.
Yeah, and your volumes are coming from those 4 months, too, that go into that calculation.
Basically, what we do is we say, here are the 4 months' historical costs. Here's the, and that's, dollars. Here's the under-over-recovery for January. And we're going to divide that total dollar amount by the historical four-month average costs. So you're not recovering that under-over-recovery over 1 month. Essentially, you're going to be recovering it over 4 months, but you change it every month.
Yes.
So that it's always based on historical volumes, but you're taking that, you're not truing up each month, you're truing up approximately one-fourth because you change it every month. And kind of an example, in January, our actual fuel costs, or we projected, or the historical fuel costs were for 2 cents. And I'll use exaggerated numbers because it's easier to understand. Because of the calculation was 2 cents. And let's say that under recovery was 1 cent. So we had a total of 3 cents. If actual fuel costs came in at 2 cents, we would have over recovered 1 cent, and that would have gone into the March adjustment. And so it can cause effects by itself because of the timing of it. And I can give you an example that would show that. And that's what you do see, where it goes up and then down, because it's kind of a rebound effect from the prior month.
Well, when you would be doing it for the year ahead, and maybe that's where I'm getting mixed up, that's when you're anticipating the volume of you're going to be selling over the whole next year.
That's
right.
And
you're determining then how many cents or whatever you're adding on or subtracting from the normal. And we got in trouble with that with the gas one that came along last year, because you had projected your gas costs incorrectly or something. So
we got a refund.
That people received. you know.
Yeah, so rather than let that sit in the balancing account, they wanted to give it back right away, I think.
Right, so it was over 3-4 months or something.
Boiled down to, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that would help to mitigate the account balance from growing too large.
So they didn't have to pay too much interest.
Well, actually, they would have had to pay too much interest. But not really, because they would have had the money sitting in an account drawing that interest.
And one of the things we will do, is, as we do on the gas side, we'll monitor this deferred account. And if it looks like it's going to be getting, you know, too much of an under-recovery, we get too much over-recovery, we will come in and file for an out-of-cycle adjustment.
Which is exactly
what we do on gas side.
Well, if you could provide an example on paper to me, it would really be helpful using somewhat accurate fuel cost adjustments for.
And I will take actually a historical one and use one where that happened. And so I'll go back to a fuel cost adjustment where we did see where an over-under-recovery actually caused more of an over-under-recovery because of the monthly change. So I'll go back to a real filing. And so it will all tie back to something that we filed and that was in effect.
I don't understand the boomerang effect of how one is. I can't understand why it wouldn't average out. If you want to go through that for me, Jerry, one more time, I would appreciate it. Why, if you have one that goes up, why it causes the next month for it to be large again, I can't understand why it doesn't
work. I think that would be better with Rita showing.
I don't get it.
The change is always, excuse me.
Yeah, but I think it has to do with compounding the problem. If you are using a previous 4 months' worth of volumes and you shove the under-recovery in there, and then during the next months you don't sell the same volumes that you used in the previous months, and so you didn't recover all, or you recovered more than the recovery provision that you tried to recover.
But I thought that you're talking about that there's no guessing of how much gas electricity you're going to sell in the coming month. And in my mind, there has to be, because you don't know how
there
much.
There will be guessing in their proposal, but there isn't now.
Right now it's all based on historical 4 month average volumes,
which changes
every month,
one period to another, because you got different.
All we're proposing to change.
You can only subtract. You can only divide it by the historical volume.
Right. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the volume of electricity you're selling in the next month.
No, it has no. It does not.
Let's just find it in this formula here that says that. Just so that I can understand what we're looking at here.
Are you looking at the rule?
I'm looking at the rule.
Is it
energy costs for actual months 1, 2, 3, and 4 plus unrecovered or less over-recovered prior cumulative energy costs divided by kilowatt-hour sales for actual months 1, 2, 3, and 4 equals energy cost adjustment for month 6. So it's historical. That's it.
Yeah.
So when you may not sell as much.
Month 6 may not have the same profile as.
Right.
One, two, three, and four.
And it's almost certain to be the case.
It is. And one of the reasons, in, you know, over many years, there wasn't a lot of volatility in costs.
Right.
And so these month-to-month fluctuations didn't cause a lot of changes. One thing that has affected is the MISO market, because the price fluctuates. What companies are buying in the market can fluctuate month-to-month because of the market.
Plus, you're buying more.
Plus, now we're buying more from the market. The four-month average still, even though it's historical, it does provide basically some stability so that we're not going month to month up, down, up, down. And this is a little bit, electric's a little bit different than gas side, because gas, we do month by month, and we lock in a price at the beginning of the month for gas, so we know what we're paying for gas. We don't know the month of April. We know what we're planning to generate from our own plants, but that's dependent upon the weather, the load. If a plant goes down, there are a lot more variables. We know we have to go out and purchase, but in addition to that, if we have a plant going out outside of the scheduled maintenance, then we'll have to go out and buy more. We don't know what the price will be in April for the in the MISO market for energy. So unlike the gas, where basically you lock in your gas costs at the beginning of the month, you have a good idea month to month ahead of time what you'll be paying on the electric. It's not as certain. And I think the four-month average does provide just some stability. You know, once the market gets going, and it might fluctuate up and down, but over a year, you might not see much of an over-under recovery.
How, when would it ever be a case of over-recovery for customers, or are they always going to be paying interest?
No, there can be an over-recovery if the four-month average is higher. For example, four-month average is higher than... Well, for example, in November we did purchase more than we had planned. I believe January also we had some outages, unexpected outages, so we purchased more than planned. And the price was rather high in January. When we get to the four-month historical ending out a few months, it might be a lower cost than the preceding 4 months.
If you sell more volumes in the coming 4 months than you did in the previous period, you might collect more.
Well, the selling of the volumes, though, that isn't supposed to go into this. That goes into that other account.
It would go into the current portion, yeah. And most of what Rita's been talking about here has been the current portion, just in her last minute or so here.
Yes.
So the in the gas count.
But how does that work? Because we have that special account set up with the electric side, where the sales volumes, if the company sells so much in sales volumes, they have to reach that certain amount in order to be for them to be considered whole, and then after that it's shared.
That's on the margin sharing adjustment you're
right.
referring to?
And so how does that relate to this? Because I know when you turn in your fuel cost adjustment, it does show sales as well, but we haven't, you know, that... That hasn't related to the cost of fuel.
That
so it has to, I don't know what it has to do with sales.
There's no real relationship between the fuel cost adjustment and the margin sharing. When you see in the fuel cost adjustment, when we calculate the current cost for the month, we take our total cost for the month and back off the fuel costs associated with those sales for resale. So we exclude all costs associated with those from the fuel cost adjustment. So the only thing that we are recovering is the cost associated with serving our retail customers. The margin sharing, on the other hand, we're sharing the net of what the revenue we receive from those pool sales, net of the expenses, the fuel costs associated with that. So the fuel cost adjustment itself has nothing in it for pool revenue or cost.
I mean, you're still building in some assumptions about the next year as far as what your load will be.
The sales volumes, yes.
And so, I mean, there may be a small balance at the end of the year, correct, that you do just roll that into the next year.
Yes, we would keep track of that and see where we were. You know, if we were going to give back in the second year $458,000, at the end of the year, you know, you never are right on. Maybe we gave back $420,000, and the difference would remain in the account. It's the same as on the gas side, where we true it up, but you never can zero it out entirely because you can never forecast. On the electric side, the weather does not have a great effect on volumes as on the gas.
A little easier to predict what your load is year to year.
Yeah, it's more, even month to month, it's a little more. We don't see the fluctuations in sales volumes month to month. We have higher, of course, summer months, we sell more. We have the shoulder months. But on an annual basis, you don't see the fluctuations due to weather that you see on the gas side.
Have we had any interest expressed in this concept by Xcel or Ottertail?
No, and I did kind of run it by them a little bit. Or at least by Ottertail, anyway.
They're out there in the market purchasing, buying, and selling on a regular basis, too.
But I haven't gotten any, you know, we didn't talk seriously about it. It was one of the things that I had hoped to hear more about from them before we went to informal here, and it just didn't happen.
Let me ask this. I can't think of any concerns that I have with the proposal, and if we were starting at a blank slate, I'd probably say fine. I mean, we do have this standard that we have to meet of that the existing process results in an undue burden. How would you propose that we define undue burden in this case so that we can meet the standard of the waiving the rule?
Well, the undue burden, I guess, one aspect of it, you look at it as the fluctuations. It's unduly burdensome for customers to have to pay for this fluctuation. And so you're going to see more fluctuations now than you would see under an annual. To have to pay for these fluctuations month to month and see that month to month fluctuation in the rate, that it's, you know, there's no reason for it, or it's unduly burdensome to function that way.
Yeah, but if we found that to be
the
case, wouldn't we have to
are going to be having that
have
problem.
To do away with the old method? Period. It would be unduly burdensome.
Well, and
I was trying to think about something. Maybe that, I mean, undue burden means that it's something that can be easily addressed by the utility or something. You know, it's not that.
Rita, did you tell me that you had already gone to this in Montana or in Wyoming?
In Wyoming, and it's a little bit situation, but we have gone to, in Wyoming, we purchase all of our power. And we've gone to we have an annual adjustment with a tracker. So we do keep track each month. This is what we recovered. This is what we paid. And once a year, we'll have a true up there.
So that's for the fuel clause adjustment. It's just one annual amount for the whole adjustment.
Well, there's two pieces to it. We just changed both of them annually. Instead of here, we would change one monthly and the other annually. In Wyoming, the two components both just change annually because we do purchase all the power.
And just for me to review again, how much are you anticipating the adjustment would be? You told us two figures, $2 and $10. That's for how much use of electricity for a residential customer?
That would be for residential customer using 7,500 kilowatt hours in a year.
I'm going to turn around here and see if our wordsmith has any ideas about.
Well, Jerry and I have been rounding around on this.
Claiming it's not an undue burden while not pointing a finger at the other two utilities.
You know, and if we were to propose a rule, frankly, I would propose that a company could choose.
That's what I would, too, so that they could choose between which method they wanted.
I think Rita's point about the market making things so very different than the history when this was written, to me, would be sufficient if the company, you know, can explain perhaps with a little more detail than so far why the company considers this.
Well, and then we're making it, and then we're making a decision based on this particular company, because I think you could,
right.
You can address, say, the 66. ABS contract.
Well, that's what I think it is. It's changed. It's changed more than, because the market has impacted the other two utilities as well, and we can see that fuel costs are changing more dramatically, you know, since the start of the market, especially for people who have to purchase a large quantity of power each month. But they don't seem to feel that that's an undue burden, you know.
Well,
I mean,
we can't say that they've even thought about it.
Well, the one
thing about it being here tomorrow.
Well, the one thing about it though it still does concern me is that generally what you try to do is you keep the costs as close to the time to the same customers who are incurring them. And what we're doing here is we would be moving it out. In one case, I mean, in the month of April, I suppose if we did this in May, the same time as your gas adjustment, what month do you anticipate doing it in your
We room? Proposed April.
Okay, April. Well, then for the folks who are purchasing power in March, it's not that much a difference, but, you know, for those who are purchasing it in May.
I don't worry so much about that because in the scheme of things, this is, I mean, it's, the regulatory process itself has that problem built into it. I mean, you build your rates based on a test year, and you know, maybe when the customers are here or not, and costs can change a lot over time, but they're assumed to be just and reasonable until it's adjusted somewhere else down the line. And that's a much larger cost in somebody's bill than than this.
What do day people want in terms of like demand side management and those types of issues? They want to have cost be as close to
reflect their use.
To reflect their use. That's what they want. They want, that's what real time metering does, is it gives us a signal to people to either turn off the lights or keep the lights on. What we're diluting here is these price signals that we're giving to customers, even though they're not quite accurate. I agree with the four-month averaging. We don't have that, but it's closer today than it would be with this method
but
that
this
you're
is still,
proposing.
But it's a true-up. I mean, that's not a price signal based on the what you're using today. That's the fuel cost. That's
that's
the fuel cost. That's not the true-up.
Right. And it is already a two-month lag on it.
It's already a two-month lag.
And you know, the one thing with this method is that it gives a chance for the months to cancel each other out. That's probably the biggest advantage to it.
Or the true-up amounts.
Well, over the
yes. Yeah, over the year period. So they'll work against each other and reduce the volatility in it. So
I try it for 1 year. See how it's looking. I do it. I'd feel real comfortable for the next year to do it as on a trial basis and have the commission review. Then before we would do the next one, just to review what's going to be in store the next, you know. How do you do it? You can't do it on a yearly basis. It wouldn't even start till a year from now, would it? Because you don't have a true yearly basis ready for April for now.
We do. Because on what we've been doing on the accounting side is we basically at one point in time took our balance from here and have been keeping track of it since that point. I believe it was about the time we made this filing. So that we do have on the accounting books an amount.
But that wouldn't be what would go in place in April this year because we've been passing it through to customers.
They've been keeping track on basically what we've recovered versus what, and that's implicit, and that this is implicit in that.
I was going to say, obviously.
Yeah, but why would we pass that cost through? It would allow you to over-recover.
We'd have to talk about that.
You'd be over-recovering then this year because you've already recovered the cost so far.
Yeah, you know, it seems to me that you're going in with the balance that you would have went into that month with on from the you would have been adding to that four-month average. If you started in April, you would have had an over-under recovery from February, and that would have been going into the April. So the 1st of April, the amount that you'd set for that whole year would be that amount that you would have put into that month of April. Am I right?
I'm not sure.
Not sure you follow me? Yes, we'd have to talk, I guess.
But yeah, I think we would have to talk. But we have been, you know, because we can't implement it unless we know what it is. And so we have been keeping track of what the adjustment would be. And basically what I said, we've been keeping track of this is what we recovered in total from our customers for this month, including this. This is what we actually paid out, expense
okay,
we incurred for this month.
Like,
this is different.
You know,
this is the
now,
difference.
Or do you start a year from now because you're recovering the money ahead of time, otherwise that you've already recovered, and otherwise it's going into the account and sitting there, and you're either paying interest or customers are paying for
I
the year.
I thought we would be starting very close to zero.
We'd have to pick a month where we were close to zero. That we, you know, we can't. We have a balance, an over-under recovery each month, so you can't just start at zero because then you're saying you won't. So what we did is we started a month, and I believe it was a month that was fairly close to zero, and said, okay, here's the over-under recovery that we had at this month. So starting there, each month, we recovered a certain amount per kilowatt hour in our fuel cost adjustment. We know what we actual cost for that month. That difference went into that count. That account, over-under recovery for the month, that account doesn't necessarily tie to our fuel cost adjustment because we were doing the month-to-month thing.
Why won't we just start with the month when, if the commission approves this, let's say we approve it in, it's the first part of April, and so then you wouldn't put in place, you just wouldn't for the whole next year have a true-up that you're adding in to this account, and that would go into this account and would either, customers would either pay interest or charge interest for 1 year, and then that would be distributed or cost allocated to customers in April of next year.
We can do that, but we will start with a balance because we have a balance today. We had an under recovery last month. So it's not that we are starting with zero. We're just changing the method of this true up.
Do you have your numbers there right now?
Yeah, that'd be fine. Whatever.
How much was your under recovery for last month? Or there's a fuel cost adjustment that just came in here for
last week for the month. But this is what we would have done had we had this in place, what I have calculated. So in January, had we just taken the difference between the current portion and the actual cost, we would have under-recovered by $480,000.
So we take that $480,000 and spread it over the whole next year's worth of volumes.
Well, but see, that's what we would have done had we not had a true-up. We did have a true-up. So this is a theoretical what would have happened. We would have to compare what we actually recovered to what we actually spent. Not, this is assuming it had.
At some point in time, you'll know up to that date what you've collected under the existing system. And so you'll have an account balance number either under or over, and you would just incorporate that. That would become your baseline amortized over the next 12 months while the current one is, while you're tracking this year's costs, which then go into next year, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have been tracking the balance since last fall.
Well, what if we didn't care about that from what you did from last fall? What if we just wanted to know what the balance is? Let's say we pick a date. Let's say the first true-up that's sent into the commission or something after we approve this, let's say the one that would come in April.
I don't know what that would, yeah, I mean.
We wouldn't know what that would be, but we could go base it on what's in the.
And it's probably a little late to do April now, isn't it?
Well, maybe in this one, but that doesn't mean we can't start.
The thing in April. So 2 months from now, when April's turn is to go into the fuel cost adjustment, that's when it would start.
We had anticipated, we proposed an implementation date of April 1, meaning it would change April 1. That doesn't mean if we don't have something, we couldn't implement the first one May 1. I mean, it's like any of our surcharges, it could be an out of cycle.
Okay.
Why don't you turn into Jerry the number? Well, we can't. It's the 21st of March. We're always right up against these dates.
I have a March fuel cost adjustment, I mean an April fuel cost adjustment on my desk.
That has a February balance.
Yeah, okay. All right. So if we input it in April, then in June, we would just have a balance of whatever the April carryover would have been. But we're going to spread that over a big amount of volumes. And so the balance, the initial starting point for the surcharge should be pretty low.
Seems like it'd be kind of an optimum time. I mean, just a little, realizing electricity isn't as volatile.
But we can work
this. Well, you're never going to have an, you're never going to be able to tell us exactly what it's going to be because, every day that the current system is in place, it changes a little bit one way or another.
Well, the amount, no one would have a surcharge this next year, is the way I see it, after April 1st.
Except for the existing balance on the day that you started it. Overall.
That we would have, the amount that we would have put into the next FCA.
It would just be a small number spread over a large.
Right. And, well, we won't know until June when the April stuff comes.
Well, why wouldn't that, why wouldn't the amount that's left over in this surcharge, why wouldn't that go, quote, in the savings account?
If it's an over
or
recovery.
I know. If it's in an under recovery, why wouldn't you put it in that savings account, too? Because they could get in.
That's what I think.
And no one would pay anything then from April 1st on or whatever date we pick.
Well, your
until
first
for a full
surcharge
year
would be designed to recover that balance that you stuck into that account when you started for the year.
Why?
Well, I suppose you could leave it out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why wouldn't you just have it in there and to accumulate till the next till the year when you came back to it? Why would you charge anything in the first year that you're starting? Because your goal is to have once a year you assess the surcharge.
And your goal is to zero that
account. And everyone's paid it up through this whole point, up through this year.
Yeah. And your goal would be to zero that account over that year. At the beginning of the year, you have a balance in the account, and your goal is to zero that balance over the year. And so if you start it with an initial balance, your goal should be to use the surcharge to zero that balance over the coming year. So you would have a little bit of a surcharge.
Why would I have...
Surcharge or, well, I,
or just or a balance roll.
It could be a, it could either be a surcharge or a little refund, but it wouldn't be either way.
Right.
The surcharge might be negative.
Still, why would you have... Why couldn't you just put that as the first month's banking into that account?
Because then you'd be more than a year behind when you started recovering it.
Depends on what date you chose next year to start.
You know, I think what Susan's saying, it could work. I mean...
It could, but you're starting out then with a balance. And just at end of February, we had a balance for North Dakota of $580,000. So we'd be starting off with a $580,000 under recovery that you wouldn't start recovering until a year from now. I mean, it would be offset by other things, but you're starting off with a balance of $580,000 that you wouldn't do anything about for a year. And that could grow or get smaller depending upon the activity over the next year, but still you're starting with saying, we're going to start this account, we're going to start with $500,000 that we're going to start paying interest on, and we'll see what happens the next year.
Mm-hmm.
In January, that was $1.7 million. That's how much this fluctuates month to month.
It was
$1.7 million for North Dakota customers, the end of January. The end of December.
We know that in March, the end of March now, that number won't be even smaller.
Or be a balance.
We don't know what it will be until we close the books for March. I mean, I cannot even give you an estimate if it would be a positive, a negative, go higher, go lower.
Are people paying that right now? No. They're paying the February surcharge.
No, they're paying.
March.
No, in March they're paying the January piece.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we get some specific proposal about how to implement this and have that down? That's probably.
I mean, was part
important.
Of picking April because it would be a probable. Good month in terms of the balance? I mean, is that part of why you picked April, or is it just...
Actually, it'd be kind of nice for the commissioner to do them both at the same time in May. You know, we do the gas one in May. We could do the...
Well, we picked April for a couple of reasons. One is that's when our margin sharing adjustment changes. And so it kind of ties one change the margin sharing and the true-up at the same time, rather than have... one month, one the next. We'd prefer not to have May because it is our annual filing in for the gas side. And there's a lot of work involved in doing the annual filings. And we don't. This would just push more into that same date, that same time frame. And we'd like to kind of spread things out.
Mm-hmm. You're talking your annual report to the commission comes in May, too? Or?
No, that's actually April 15th.
Okay.
It's the annual purchase gas cost adjustment.
Well, maybe staff can work out a schedule of when this would be the best time to start.
Yes, that would be, we can do that.
I guess I'm personally not overly concerned about meeting that undue burden standard. I mean, it seems to me like there's, undue burden is probably a bad choice of term, but that's the term.
So if we want to do this, then... I'm wondering if Rita could just provide some language that comes, get the company think it through and addresses the undue burden caused by the expiration of the AVS contract and the additional volatility being experienced as we turn to the market type thing or whatever else, some kind of a showing there.
The two together.
Yes, we can provide that.
Because
wouldn't do burden to make the company do something it doesn't want to do. Could mean that.
I wonder if we see that language again somewhere.
Good ideas.
If everything's equal to the consumer.
Okay, anything else at this time? Good discussion. I think we at least now, at least I understand it a lot better than when I came in. I still would like to have the example. It would really help me. It'll help me as I think about when we start. Yep. So that would be good. Thank you very much. Yep, that would be great. And so this closes the hearing on PU 06415. Thank you. They sent you all alone to answer our questions. I mean, many times on these kinds of things, you have four people lined up here in the room. They figured, okay, Rita, go for it. You can handle this one. Thank you. You did a good job of providing the information.
I don't know if I've got all of them, but I've got, you know, I've been keeping track.
I don't know if
some.
Because you mean you can kind of improvise as you go through it. So,
right.
You know, since then you
right.
know, this.
Right.
That's
a good idea.
Just kind of occurred to me today.
Good job, Jerry.
The travel plans.
Yeah, good point. Thanks.
Well, good thing we talked about how it would be implemented because it seems like there's a few different thoughts on that.